Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here from my home studio in Auckland, Takapuna in Auckland, on a lovely Wednesday afternoon. I hope wherever you're listening tonight, if it's in New Zealand, you're having a good time, or if it's in Ireland or Australia or America or any of the other centres listening to Ireland Calling, welcome along. Programme Ireland Calling is brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland tonight. Sadly, there's nothing but bad news, in fact, in Ireland. COVID numbers have been put off the front pages of the paper for at least a day or two following a tragedy in Cork. More details about that and all the other news over the next hour here. Whether you're listening in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Wellington on a Sunday night, Kapiti Coast Sunday afternoon, and Christchurch on Saturday night. And greetings to people listening on Planet Audio around New Zealand and indeed all around the world. And hopefully there's a few Kildare people listening, and we'll play this song for you.
The winter is past, and the summer's come at last. And the birds, they are singing in the trees. Their little hearts are glad, but mine is very sad. For my true love is far away from me, and straight I will repair to the Curragh of Kildare. For it's there I'll find tidings of my dear. A livery I'll wear, and I'll comb back my hair, and in velvet so green I will appear, and straight I will repair to the Curragh of Kildare. For it's there I'll find tidings. I pity the pain that you endure.
Dermot O'Leary and the Bards there, a lovely song called The Curragh of Kildare. And if you're listening around the Curragh of Kildare on planetaudio.org.nz, you're very welcome to the programme brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And we'll start with the latest COVID figures from Ireland. There was 5 further deaths in the Republic of Ireland today and 720 new cases. And Chief Medical Officer Tony Houlihan has come out to say that it's too early yet to say if Ireland has turned the corner. Obviously, numbers dropping from, there was nearly 1,300 one day last week. So that's obviously good news. But obviously, lockdown is continuing and will continue for another 5 weeks. But schools are still opened, and that's even though there has been a few outbreaks in schools, it's important that schools can stay open. People are disappointed that gymnasiums and golf courses aren't allowed to stay open, but the government, on the advice of the health executive team, have basically said all non-essential businesses should close, and obviously people, if possible, work from home. Sadly, in the early hours of, or the late on Monday afternoon, news broke in Ireland of a terrible tragedy, and down in Kanturkan, County Cork, when police did get access to a farmhouse and a farm, they found the bodies of three people dead: Tygo Sullivan, 59, and his two sons, Mark, 26, and Jeremy, 23. And obviously, investigations are continuing, but it looks like that the terrible tragedy relates to a family dispute over a will. The two sons recently qualified. One a solicitor, one an accountant. The father was a mechanic, well known in the North Cork area, and obviously huge sorrow and outpouring of grief to the wife of who raised the alarm in the early hours of Monday morning, and announced that there was a shooting. There was a dispute on between one member of her family and her husband and another member. And the gruelling news came out late on Monday evening, Tuesday here in New Zealand time. And obviously the story is still dominating the news in Ireland. So terrible, terrible tragedy. And they've listed other similar tragedies that have happened in Ireland over the last few years. And we've mentioned them here from time to time. But this is just another terrible event, and very hard for the people down in the Cork area around Kanturk. Okay, we will continue on, and this time we got the Pogues. Sorrows, you told me all your joys.
times I'd wake up in the morning, the ginger lady by my bed, covered in a cloak of silence, I hear you talking in my head. I'm not singing for the future, I'm not dreaming of the past, I'm not talking of the first time, I never think about the last. Now the song is nearly over,
Shane McGowan there and the Pogues and Rainy Night in Soho, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. I was in Wellington at the weekend to celebrate my son Patrick's 21st birthday. Belated happy birthday to you, Patrick, and my other son Fergus's birthday is coming up this weekend, Halloween Day 18, Fergus, so happy birthday to you. But I was walking down Lambton Quay on Saturday morning, met a group of people with hurls, and so it was then I discovered that the there was seven-a-side tournament taking place up in the Hutt Valley. So it was nice to get up there on Saturday afternoon for a few hours and meet people from the region. Sadly, there wasn't a lot of supporters there. Maybe people didn't know about the event, but it was great to meet the hurlers and footballers from all the centres around New Zealand. And welcome along to this programme. I was telling a number of people about the programme, so hopefully if you're tuned in for the first time, you like what you hear and come back again next week. But what lovely facilities up there, and it was a very well-run event. So congratulations to everyone. And of course, the Gaelic Games seasons are underway again now in all the main centres around New Zealand. So if you're keen to get out and play a bit of Gaelic football, you could check the local Gaelic Athletics Association link on the local Facebook page. I'm sure you'll find them there. I know that the games in Auckland start a week ago, and they're outplayed at Massey Rugby Club out in West Auckland. But anyway, the weather was good on Saturday, not so good on Sunday, but well done to everybody. And there is a lot of young people here, and we all realise how lucky we are to be down here when you look at what's happening back home. And of course, Gaelic games have been responsible for some of the spread of the virus, because there was an awful lot of club hurling and football matches happening in, from July onwards and August and September. And when it got to semi-finals and finals, was great excitement. And after the few finals that were played, there was some big celebrations that basically people attributed the spread of the virus to in various parts of the country. But numbers have dropped slightly from the last few days. Numbers still very high in Northern Ireland. And in fact, some of the people being treated in Northern Ireland that needed ICU treatment looked like they were going to be transferred to hospitals in the south if the numbers kept rising. But I see where one of the head men in the World Health Organization, Michael Ryan, Sligo Mayo man on the border there, he says that Europe is well behind in the fight against COVID-19, and he says more needs to be done. not sure what he said, what country was doing well, but I know that Taiwan and New Zealand are up there as countries that have done really well. We've all made sacrifices, and I know that lots of people in Ireland have made sacrifices too, but other people have let the side down, and hopefully people will now take heed of the advice that they're being given, and that the country can reopen, you know, at a level 2 possibly, or level 3 in early December. Righto, we'll move on here. We've got Forget-Me-Nots. I don't know how that song got into my playlist. It's the song called Forget-Me-Nots by The Heathers, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, coming up to 20 minutes past the hour here. Hopefully you're enjoying the programme, which is brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, Ireland kicked off its rescheduled Six Nations Championship at the weekend with their game against Italy. Of course, that game postponed from early March, but the 5,000 Italian fans came to Dublin at that time, and probably were responsible for spreading a bit of coronavirus at the start of the campaign. But anyway, Ireland had a good win over Italy, and now play France in the final game of the season. And if they win this game and England get beaten or don't get a bonus point against Italy, Ireland would win the Six Nations Championship, and with it a bonus of about $6.5 million, which would go to the IRFU, which would be very, very happy, because they're heading down the barrel of big losses this year, and even bigger losses next year if they're not allowed to have people attending their games at Lansdowne Road, and indeed all the other club matches. Now, you know when you see a story in a headline from a former player, angry over my parents' breakup, never left me, by Sean O'Brien, and you think, well, what's he doing talking about this now? But he's just bringing out a book. In fact, the book comes out tomorrow on the 29th, and there's been excerpts of it published over the last few days, and I've just read a bit of the one now here about his parents' breakup, and if I was his mother and father, I wouldn't be too happy that he's detailing some of the events that went on. But of course, that's the reason the publisher told him to talk about something that's controversial. It's not about the try scored against Lions here in the first test at Eden Park 2 years ago, but it's something else that will grab the headlines and tabloids will run with it. And I've just read a bit of it here, and I certainly think it's something that probably might be better off kept out of the book. But anyway, the book is called Sean O'Brien, Fuel, the Autobiography, and it's published, and I'm sure it's up online. So if you're a fan of Sean O'Brien, you can, what do you call it, get the book. And a great player. He played well with, obviously, from Tullow and County Carlow, but left the game in a bit of a cloud at the end. He'd signed a contract with London Irish, supposedly on nearly a bigger salary than he was getting with the Irish team. But at the farewell, his last game playing for Leinster, he got into a spot of bother where he urinated in someone's foot while to get to a bar. And what was a great career, there was a bit of a, you know, dark shadow over the end, and then serious injuries put an end to his career. But certainly great player for Leinster and for Ireland, and indeed the Lions. And coming to the end of his career, bringing out the book, which is available now. We'll run through fixtures at the weekend. There was the first round of the Hurling Championships took place, and Limerick came out, and they play their near neighbours and great rivals Clare. Huge win, 36 points to 123, and that was played in front of empty stands at Simple Stadium in Turles. Planxty and the... No, we'll move with Atlantic Way, and then we'll have Planxty next.
Counting down the
Aoife Scott there and The Wild Atlantic Way, a good big hit for her when that was released about 2 years ago. And of course, The Wild Atlantic Way, very popular part of Ireland to tour. But alas, this year, not so many people there because of COVID-19. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you each week here with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Wednesday night in Auckland, Saturday night in Christchurch, Sunday afternoon and evening in Wellington, and any night of the week on planetaudio.org.nz, and the programme brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, a new milestone coming up this weekend when Ireland play France in their final NPC, our Six Nations Championship match. Cian Healy, who almost was dropped a few years ago, and that could have been the end of his career. He could have taken a lucrative contract in Japan or something, but he stuck with it, made his way back in, and he's heading to play his 100th test match for Ireland this weekend. And there could be a reunion of a great team. Centre partnership of Bundy Aké and Robbie Henshaw. Henshaw looks like he'll come in for the injured Gary Ringrose and will team up with his old mate Bundy Aké in the centre. But up against it, they need certainly a win with a bonus point. And of course, brings back memories of Johnny Sexton when he kicked that last minute drop goal 2 years ago. Might have been 3 years ago, is it? Certainly 2 years ago. To win the game against France and set up Ireland winning the Grand Slam. And of course, that was the year that another victory over the All Blacks, but it all kind of fell apart last year when they played in the World Cup. Didn't really do well pretty much all year. Well, as I mentioned, the GAA Championship got underway last weekend, and also the final rounds of the Allianz League matches were played. Bad news if you're a Mayo fan. They basically lost by a point to Tyrone. I think they lost by a point to, so they go down to Division 2. And Galway were doing well in Salt Hill against Dublin, but two late goals saw Dublin through 215 to 15 points. And of course, the focus now will be on the Championship. No back door for the football. There is a back door open there for hurling teams. So Clare, who were well beaten by Limerick last Sunday, will have a chance to come in. And there was talking here, there's an article in the RTE website about big scores. And there was a scoreline here last year when Cork played County Westmeath, and they scored one goal and 40 points to Westmeath's 20 points. And obviously Limerick fired over 36 points against Clare, second highest championship total of all time, while Dublin scored 31 white flags and scored two goals against Laois. Another big win there. But in 2017, Galway broke a 43-year record set by Kilkenny in an 80-minute match, scoring 33 points against Offaly in the Leinster semi-final. And then a fortnight later, Waterford, they scored 36 points against Offaly. So things not going well for Offaly. They didn't improve that much. And the other thing that's happening, of course, you can watch these games on gaago.ie. There's a subscription there. It's half the price it normally is if you want to sign up to it. And you'll be seeing yellow schlitters, or very bright, luminous schlitters. And some people are finding it a bit hard to get used to them. But certainly people are very pleased. Some people said games shouldn't have gone ahead. Golf has stopped. Other indoor sports have stopped. But the authorities decided that elite sport, rugby, soccer, and Gaelic games can go ahead. But disappointment for the underage teams. Galway were due to play Dublin under 20 final last weekend, but that game was cancelled, called off, because the government's directions from the health authority is that only elite sport and professional sport are allowed to play, and again under strict conditions. And if a team or a few players in a team gets COVID, it could put the whole championship, hurling and football championship, in jeopardy. Right, we'll hit a button here, look in and see what we've got here. We'll go with Planxty and the Cliffs of Dunedin. Christy and the Air.
Travel far.
A young Christy Moore there, along with Donal Lunny, Andy Irvine and the late Liam O'Flynn, and a song that was a big hit for them back in the early 70s, might have been the late 60s, called The Cliffs of Dunaine. And you're listening to Ireland Calling. Hopefully you're still with us. Just over half an hour gone. Programme brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Looking at the Farm and Independent from yesterday, the headline is no easing of level 5 restrictions at the marts despite broadband limbo. Growing concern for the trade as mart managers claim poor broadband is making some online sales unworkable. Department ramps up testing of animal feeds for banned substances. That's another headline here. Farmers are facing 2-year delays on forestry licence to clear the way for tree felling. And I see there's a nice picture here of 4 or 5 people social distancing, sitting on pallets wrapped in some kind of plastic. But potato grower and packer, Mead Potato Company, has entered the starch community commodity market by extracting starch from surplus potatoes and potato processing byproducts. There's a picture of them there in the farm, the Mead farm at Lobbinstown in County Meath. And I see there's a man here harvesting maize last week in Carlow in what are heavy conditions indeed. It looks like there's a bit of mud on the field there as well. Meat factory backers seek department approval for a 40 million plant in Offaly. The backers of a contentious plan for a 40 million meat processing plant for Banagher formerly sought permission or Department of Agriculture approval for the project. Obviously, the new minister, the third minister in this government for agriculture, is Charlie McConnellogue, certainly an unusual name, but he was Fianna Fáil's spokesman in agriculture last year. Of course, Barry Cowan had to step down, and then Dara Cleary, Barry stepped down over his driving offences, Dara stepped down over his golfing offences, and obviously the man from Donegal is in there. He's been there now for quite a while. Nice guy. I heard him being interviewed a few times. Payments under the new Common Agricultural Policy Scheme will still be largely dictated by how much land you farm, not how much you farm it. That's by Alan Matthews, a professor at Trinity College in Dublin. Right, hallelujah. I finally have a working landline after months of combat in the utility company trenches. There's a man that looks like he's living in a mobile home somewhere. What the department are doing with the marts is a fiasco. It's a total disaster. Anger and stress are mounting over the government's level 5 restrictions on marts as farmers struggle to cope with the online trading and broadband issues add to problems for staff, buyers and sellers. And there's a bit of report in from various marts around the country, and they're all basically singing from the same hymn sheet that they're not happy. Going back to basics, how this Sligo beef farmer is making an extra €1,000 per head on his bullocks. I'll have to read that later, but Clive Bright has taken a radical approach to making his farm profitable and sustainable by cutting out fertilisers and meal, extending the grazing season and breeding smaller cattle, planting more trees and selling his beef direct to the customer. He's turned around the fortunes of what was once a struggling dairy farm. So there you go. Obviously, lessons to be learned there. The cattle look very good in the background of a photograph taken with them. And he said, mob grazing the key to extending the grazing season and to cutting fertilisers out of your system. And there's a couple of other pictures there of people doing the same thing in farming. Right, that's it. Looking at the farming section of the paper. Of course, this time of the year, most of the farmers have their cattle indoors and obviously feeding them now for the winter months, and many of them won't be able to get out, especially in the west of Ireland, until probably end of March, early April next year. OK, what do we hit here? We go with Brendanshine, where the three counties meet.
Meet Longford, Westmead and Roscommon. As I
Well, two men from one of the counties mentioned there, regular listeners, Jimmy Duffesy and Paddy Mulrennan. I hope you enjoyed that song. You're listening to Ireland Calling. We'll look back at some of the other stories from the papers over the last few days. Of course, it was a bank holiday in Ireland this weekend, just gone. It would normally be the Dublin City Marathon on Monday, but they held a virtual marathon because of COVID-19 and obviously... the other thing that happened at the weekend, the clocks went back, so we're now 13 hours ahead. So when it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, it's 8 o'clock in Ireland the night before. And obviously, a lot of people this time of the year will be getting ready and looking forward to going home for Christmas, but all plans on hold as a result of COVID-19. If you missed the start of the programme, I just mentioned about a terrible tragedy in Cantorque in County Cork, where a man and his two sons were found dead in a family farm on Monday afternoon. He was 59, his sons 22 and 25. And it looks like the deaths could have been over a dispute over a proposed will, could have been the cause of the tragedy. The police are treating it as a murder-suicide. Terrible, terrible tragedy. And the man's wife, the only surviving member of the family, Anne O'Sullivan, who raised the alarm around 7 o'clock on Monday morning. May the souls of the three people that died rest in peace. Terrible, terrible time for that mum and indeed the whole community in Kenturk in Cork as they deal with obviously COVID-19 as well, which is just something that you know, you can't comprehend a story like that. And there's obviously comparisons being made to the John B. Keane book and the movie called The Field and disputes over land, and it looks like it could come down to something like that if early reports are to be believed. A charity says 500 more families will need food support in lockdown. Barnado's chief executive Suzanne Conway said many of the families charity supports faces a lot of challenges, and we saw that here during lockdown as well. Virus fears prompt record increase in parents homeschooling their children. Other story here, taxi drivers challenged over masks. The lack of legislation mandating the wearing of face coverings in taxis has resulted in passengers challenging drivers over the issue, the head of the taxi company has outlined today. Beautiful picture of a kingfisher by a riverside in Rathfarnham in Dublin on page 4 of the Irish Times on Tuesday. And what else is happening here? Unions warn on move away from pay deal talks. Schools are on midweek break this week, and some unions are calling for schools not to reopen, but many other school leaders and union leaders want to make sure in the government that children's education continue. What else is happening here? We'll just run quickly through the sports world pages. I'm sick and tired of this US election. The sooner it's over, the better. And hopefully there's a clear, decisive result next Tuesday after the election takes place there. But it looks like it could drag on for a few weeks if it's a tight race, a bit like George Bush and Al Gore a few years ago. And certainly lots of publicity about it on the world section of the papers around the world, but especially in Ireland as well. Celebrations in Chile as voters overwhelmingly back rewriting of a Pinochet-era constitution. That's good news there. And just quickly fly through sports pages here and see what they were talking about on Tuesday, obviously leading up to the rugby when Ireland play their final match this weekend. And soccer gets huge publicity over there. Dundalk are going well. They had a draw, I think, or a win the other night in the Europa tournament, and if they qualify out of that, they will, I think they've already picked up about 3 million to get to the playoff stages, but if they get out of that, they will probably pick up more money than that. So a great achievement for a semi-professional outfit, in fact very semi-professional. And the League of Ireland has a few games to go, so at the moment this is the second tier competition, the SSC Electricity League. My own team, Galway, there, they're having a better year this year. They changed coach there a few months ago, so they're sitting about mid-table in the Electricity League. Drogheda leading, followed by Bray Wanderers, UCD, Longford Town, Cabin Teely, Galway United, and Athlone Town and Wexford Football Club holding up the bottom of the league table there. And of course, there's mountains of pages or many pages given to coverage of the English Premier League. And the Masters is coming up in November, so McIlroy fully focused on Augusta National. That tournament coming up, I think, in sometime in November, from the 12th to the 15th at the Augusta Club Room. And as I mentioned earlier, Ireland have a big game against France this weekend. A win with a bonus point would give them European Championship, or they would win the Six Nations Championship and get about a bonus prize money of about $6.5 million, which would be very welcome to the IRFU. The former treasurer and great player Tom Grace retired last week. Many tributes paid to him over his years, a former partner of Craig Gardner's, but he's been the honorary treasurer for probably about 15-20 years, and obviously travelling well till this year when COVID obviously caused a lot of issues for professional and semi-professional sports bodies. Right, what do we go with here? Damien Dimsey.
She's chachos and assaults, broken hearted but she copes. Michael's out of work, Vincey's sinking in the morgue. He's unshaven of a mess, finds it hard something to dress. Stevie's smashed to death, cause he can't express himself. He's consumed by rage, like his father at his age. Read this little child, has a lovely little smile, but this means nothing to our father, because he's never even seen her. We'll be right back.
Damien Dempsey there, and Sing All Your Cares Away, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support each week of the Hugh Green Group. Wherever you're listening, whether it's in New Zealand or overseas, I hope you're enjoying the programme, and that comes out every week with a bit of news from Ireland and stuff. Sadly, not a lot of good news over the last few weeks or months with the advent of COVID, but we'll look back here at some of the results that took place the weekend. The result of that rugby game, Ireland-Italy, was Ireland 50, Italy 17. So as I said, a big win this weekend against France, or a win with a bonus point, will see them crowned champions. As I said, lots of Gaelic games played. Dublin too good for Galway, 215 to 15 points. Monaghan 214, Meath 117. So teams, after the league, which was disrupted, of course, that should have been finished back in April. Kerry, champions of Division 1, and relegated are Meath and Mayo. And Cork are promoted from, Division 2 first, Roscommon and Armagh being promoted. And obviously Mayo and Meath dropping down, and dropping down from Division 2 to Division 3 is Cavan and Fermanagh. And up goes Cork and down. And Division 4, Limerick and Wicklow will be moving up. Leitrim and Louth will be moving down. Leitrim played 7 games. They won 1, they drew 1, and that was their lot. Louth played 7 games and they drew 1-1 and lost the rest with a total of 2 points. And poor old London in Division 4, they played 7 games, lost the 7 of them. But up against it, semi-professional guys. So now the championship, the focus moves to the championship. And the games that took place last weekend was Limerick scoring 36 points against Clare's 123. So we'll have a look here coming up next weekend. The Connacht Championship, the first round of it, this Sunday, the 1st of November. Leitrim against Mayo at Carrick and Shannon. And you can hear these games on your local radio station or on the RTE player. And if you want to watch them, you'll have to get a subscription to gaago.ie. So that's it for Connacht this weekend. Galway and Sligo play the following weekend, and so do Roscommon. They play the winner of Mayo and Leitrim. I'm just trying to look here to see when Mayo and Leitrim have played. Well, that must be coming up this weekend. It's not listed here in this thing that I have. So in the Leinster Championship this weekend, football, Offaly against Carlow, Wexford against Wicklow, Louth against Longford, and in the Munster Championship on Saturday, you have Limerick against Waterford, and you've got Tipperary against Clare. And then the following week, you'll have the winner of the Limerick-Waterford match playing the winner of the Clare-Tip match. And the following day, you've got Cork against Kerry. So you think whoever wins that game would probably win the Munster final, which will take place on the 22nd of November. And up north, the Saturday, Monaghan take on Cavan in the Ulster Championship at Clonus. And then on Sunday, there's two games, Donegal against Tyrone, Ballybuffet, Derry against Armagh at Celtic Park in Derry. And then that's it for this weekend. So there are the football matches that are coming up, and the hurling matches last weekend. As I said, Limerick too good for Clare this weekend. You got Cork against Waterford on Saturday, Tip against Limerick on Sunday. Well, that'll be a cracker of a game. And that game is being played, I think, at Limerick. And then the Leinster Championship this weekend, Kilkenny play Dublin and Galway play Wexford. There's a back door for the hurling, but no back door for the footballers. If you're out, you're out and you're gone. And speaking of gone, it's time for me to go. I just looked at the watch here, and we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank you again for tuning in tonight. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme, Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I'll be back again next week with another programme in memory of Limerick's big win over Clare. For all the Limerick people, we have Limerick, You're a Lady. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.
Limerick, you're a lady. Your Shannon waters, tears of joy did flow. The beauty around you.
take it with me, love, wherever I go. While waking in the arms of distant waters, a new day finds me far away from home. Then limerick, you're my lady, the one true love that I have ever known. As children, you and I spend endless days of fun in winter snow or summer's golden sun. We fished in silver streams, the fabric of my dreams was fashioned by your loveliness, and so I have to say, to say, thank God we're living just to feel.